Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Neon Ghosts Ghost Hour, your pop culture podcast. My name is Benjamin Fiege and today I have another special guest for you, The music of this fascinating Moroccan singer and songwriter mixes elements from Arabia and Africa with soul, jazz and electronica. Modern music meets traditional sounds. I talked with about her upcoming show in Germany, but also about her love for architecture and its impact on her music, her thoughts on the term world music and cultural appropriation, and the rise of African music in general. So, sit back and enjoy the show. If you like what you hear, hit the subscribe button and recommend us to your friends and family, and if not, to your worst enemies.
Neon Ghosts. Ghost Hour. A pop culture podcast.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine too. Thanks for your time. Very, very good that we could arrange that so on short notice.
Thank you.
Where are you?
Actually, I'm in Paris. I'm home.
I read a bit through your biography. Very interesting. What was the decisive factor that us both are not sitting down here talking about the latest building that you designed, but about music?
Yeah, so you are well informed. I have indeed had some architecture studies for 6 years in Rabat. And I was already practicing not music, but singing, mostly covers in the first time. And then starting from 2005, I started launching my first singles and then album. So yeah, we can say that architecture is still part of me. I think anyways, it has opened my mind and geometrically. And also that it gave me a larger perception of space. And space is not only a visible space, it's only a sensitive space and musical space, sensorial. I don't know if we say sensorial. Yes, we say sensorial in a way that I think I'm using this consciously or unconsciously in building my songs and building my albums through writing, but also giving and putting space between words, instruments, melodies, textures. I cannot prove that, but I'm sure that architecture is still working with me, for me, and yes, and serving me and serving my music.
Mm-hmm. So that was really like a plan A for a time, or was there always the idea, no, I'm going to do my music, but this is something I can maybe fall back onto?
Actually, music has never been a plan. No A, no B. Simply because I had no models during my childhood and teenage time, because I loved singing since the very first time I was singing. I was 5-7 years old, and never could imagine that this could be a job or a profession or a future. And actually, I was even not sad about that, because it was absolutely not envisageable. It was just not imaginable. So I had to do studies and to live well and to, you know, to learn and work. But then, so I started architecture. That was not also neither a plan A or B. I just had to make serious studies to assure my future. And I was ready to do any studies and still loving music and singing covers. And that was enough for me, actually. And so architecture was a good plan. And then music just took me through years little by little. And I started believing that, yeah, why not? I could also write my own lyrics and maybe imagine my own melodies, because it wasn't, from a time, it wasn't enough anymore to sing covers, and to, because I could not identify myself to other lyrics from other people, also for the rhythmics and everything. So somehow I just felt that I need to say, to give actually my music, which is kind of my ID card, but audio ID card. And I felt there is something hidden inside of me, and that now it has just to be released or released. So yes, it happened like that. And finally, music take me, and thanks to music, because... yeah, sometimes the plans, the A plans are hidden somewhere. Sometimes maybe we don't decide the plan, but the plan is already there. And we just have to walk freely and always be open and listen to the opportunities and the small things that happen, and small encounters also that happen, and that open a bigger space and a bigger way to walk on.
Mm-hmm. Were there any architects you looked up to back then that were like some that fascinated you?
Frank Lloyd Wright. Mm-hmm. Frank Lloyd Wright was one of my favorites, and for this reason, I chose my architecture atelier depending on this architecture, which is sens espace, senses and space, and which is really related to nature, in the respect of nature. So yes, that was actually at that time my guide to follow.
Mm-hmm. Now you tour a lot worldwide. What was the nicest venue from an architectural standpoint that you ever played in?
There were a few, but if I remember, yes, the Philharmonie in Luxembourg, not in Luxembourg. Yes, in Luxembourg. Yes, yes, Philharmonie in Luxembourg. The Elbe Philharmonie, of course, in Hamburg. We played in a very beautiful venue, which I don't really remember the name, but it was in India, in Udaipur World Music Festival, which was in a kind of palace on a small island. And this city is surrounded by lakes, there are small palaces in the lakes, so you have to cross with the boat, and it was absolutely fantastic. What more? Yes, we played in a very interesting, it was a museum in, let me see, in Estonia. Mm-hmm. In Estonia, and it was a museum which is, you just see a small part, like a rock, which is gray rock, and everything is under. It was absolutely fascinating. Yes, very, very, very powerful. Yeah, but lately, I think, yes, Elbe Philharmonie, which we played like two or three times, I guess. And lately in March last year. It's very, very smart building. Not only beautiful and well situated, but very smart, and really conceived each thing with the other, with music. And the hotel was also there. And I remember this album we are going to play in June in Kaiserslautern. Actually, we decided to record it, and we were just finished playing in the oldest album in Elbe Philharmonie, and after the concert we went to the swimming pool, which was still open. It was like 10 or 11 nighttime, and we just were there relaxing with my band, and I came with this idea. You know, guys, it's been now 10 years we are touring together and making albums, and I would like, before going with another new album, just celebrate our 10 years together. So I have to know if you are following me with this, if you are not going to be bored to play another, a new old album, like with a kind of best of. And it was a very decisive thing. And I was kind of, you know, worried that they wouldn't be very motivated. And it was very, very strong and emotional moment in that swimming pool. And they said yes. And it was in March 2023. And in July 23, we went to Marrakesh. We make this live, we recorded Dekshi. Elbe Philharmonie was the first place to program us, even before the release. The release was, I think, the 24th of March 2024. And we played Elbe Philharmonie with this album on 22 or 23. Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, really, really nice to make this start there. Start in the idea and then start in the first live. So yeah, I love Elbe Philharmonie. But also many places in Germany. Actually, it's always a real pleasure to play there, not only for the audience, which is really open to, you know, to discover other musics, and also for the sound is absolutely wonderful. And also, yes, the team surrounding us, it's really good to play in Germany. We love that.
In Kaiserslautern, I mean, it cannot compete with Elbe Philharmonie. But it's also very, I don't know if you've been there before. It's a very nice venue. It's like an old spinning mill turned into a cultural center, which is... Yes. Something that happens here often, that you turn old industrial places to cultural mm-hmm. places. And I think somehow that that matches your music. I found when I read that you come there, because you also like you combine the tradition, the old with the new.
That's true. I think all the new are always together in the, you know, in the present. So yes, I think it comes naturally. We cannot just get rid of all we are and all we have been and only be what we want to be in the future. I think, you know, the present is a beautiful combination and inevitable, actually. So we have to assume it and to give it the more justice we can and to serve its truth. So yeah, and I really love this kind of venues, because they have had different lives and different energies and different stories. It's soulful places. I really don't know certain venue, but and I never actually never go check before going because it's always a part of the magic or not. To, you know, to discover just when we arrive, yeah, it's better.
You yourself grew up in Casablanca and Marrakesh, I read. How did that shape your music? Are those two places completely different? How does one have to imagine those two places? One a bit more urban, one a bit more traditional?
I think it's more complex than that. Because almost everywhere in Morocco, there is a part of tradition, because traditions in Morocco are still alive and like contemporary. I was born in Casablanca, just born there, but my parents was crossing the city. And then I grew up in Marrakesh, so I can say that I'm a Marrakeshi girl. Marrakesh has... shape my senses, because it's a very sensorial city, very colorful. All the senses are really awake in Marrakesh. Sounds, flavors, smells, even the heat and the cold are like, you know, expressive. My father was a son of Marrakesh, and he really loved all the oral tradition, including music, rhythms, traditional old songs, stories, and also he was not a painter, but it was not his job, but he was really, really talented. And he, you know, you can see this is his piece. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he used to make art on pieces of wood, and I learned with him. the love of rhythm, the love of sounds, the love of matters, because his work was made with natural pigments on wood. So all this gave me a big interest in touching, smelling, imagining, and mixing senses together. And this helped me also in my writings, because writing songs for me is a way to give life to emotions, through senses. And this is possible with poetry and we can play with words, make the eyes hear, make the tongue smell and whatever. So, and this, I guess, comes from being a girl from Marrakech and from being the daughter of my father. And then I went to Rabat for the study in architecture. And then I based myself in Casablanca, which is a very different city, very big. Mixed with a lot of kind of architectures, colonial architectures. Casablanca is not a very old city. It's a city from 1907, since the arrival of France, Protectorat. So it has like a newer soul, but still all people from all the cities in Morocco come to Casablanca to find works. Like it's kind of Paris or New York, not in the same proportion, obviously, but and everybody, all the people that are in Casablanca, they are Bedawi, they are Casablanca, no matter where they come from. So there is this kind of strong feeling of being a citizen of that very urban city, very hard also, but there is the ocean in Casablanca, and the ocean gave me another dimension which I did never have in Marrakech. The ocean gave me really something new, a breath, a more horizon, a wider horizon, and also offered me a new relationship with water, and that also, I guess, plays a role in the way I feel and think and write my songs and music. And then Paris. And then Paris, that was the departure for me to go play in so many other countries in Europe and in the world, always from Paris, because my band has always been based here. So I was going back and forth from Casablanca to Paris, and then from Paris to Germany, to Switzerland and whatever. So yes, Marrakech, essentially for the roots, for the very most important things, it's how I feel things and how I see things. And then Casablanca gave me the courage, because you have to make your thing in Casablanca. You cannot just sleep in the sun and listen to music and smell flowers. So I think Casablanca gave me this strength to be able to do my thing and not to wait for anybody else to help or whatever. And then Paris opened the doors of the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. So that all shaped you and your views and your music. But nowadays, when you create music, does it matter for you where you are in that moment? Can you write songs in Paris as you can write them when you are in Morocco? Can you even write them on tour in Switzerland and create that sound? Or do you have to be on a certain place for that?
This is a very interesting question that really interests me all the time. And since it interests me, I can say first one thing is the most comfortable place and time to write songs is between places, mm-hmm. like in the plane or the train. And I try to find an explanation for that. And I guess it's probably because you are neither in a city or a country, neither in the other one, not yet. So there is a kind of open space where you don't belong to anywhere, and where you are free And also you can take ideas from your experiences of your stories that happened in the place you are living, and also the hope and imagination you can have of things that will happen in the place where you are going to arrive. This is the constat, because this I know, because I've been watching this, and it's usually it's not easy, but it's like natural. Mm. And then writing is, for me, is not in all the seasons, because I can start writing seeds, ideas, and keep them. And maybe it will take 1 year or two. I'm always writing things, but not especially to make them become songs. Mm. And this way, seeds of songs can become bigger, and then I go work them more. But I never sit down and say, okay, now I need to write new songs for an album. Okay, let's see. I want to talk about this and that and that. It never happened like that. And I think that all the songs that are part from a same album simply describe in a way or another what I am, who I am in that period of time. That can be 1 year or two or three, you know, until the next album. Even if I do want to treat this or that subject, but usually globally, I write what I feel, what I do experiment, what touches me with the images, with metaphoric forms, and using senses, and also playing with words, because I really enjoy writing in Moroccan dialect, Darija, which is very playful, and it's possible to play with words since they can have different meanings, and also to try to bring back old expressions and old words I used to hear from my grandmothers and really old people when I was young, especially in Marrakech, that has a big tradition of orality since always. And j'ai perdu le fil. I lost the comment dit, the wine.
No problem. What I thought when I remember, like, the first album I saw from you, I'm running also a music website, was in the early 2010s, The Soul of Morocco, and since then I followed your career and your releases, and I often see your music here in Europe or in Germany, also in record stores or on music platforms marketed with the label World Music. Which I think is, in a way, a lazy attempt to categorize something where there's maybe not a huge market yet here already existing. How do you think about such terms? Your music takes from many influences, Arab, African, bit of Europe jazz, and all these kind of stuff. Are you angry about such terms, about such lazy labels, or do you feel like... Now my music is hard to categorize, so...
Actually, not anymore. But before, yes, I thought for a time that world music is too easy and too short and too small and too big. Actually, since I don't know how many times, but now I know that my music is probably not categorizable. But I'm fine with this. Mm. I don't need actually to name it, and I don't want to name it. It's maybe reducing or frightening, because if I put a word on my music, I have always to stick to the meaning of this word, and I just want to be free. The other thing is that I'm convinced that as a Moroccan, I like musician or not, we Moroccans have a big heritage, which is, one more time, still alive, and it's with us. We don't go find, we don't go look for old stuff to bring it back and celebrate. Old stuff is here all the time, every day. And musically, there is very, very large and rich repertoire of, you know, dozens and dozens of traditional musics and songs and types of rhythmics, and so all this is part of me. I don't know all of it, but I'm interested in this. But then I can understand that people could be afraid of something they cannot name, and it's okay. I mean, I don't judge them. And this, for all the people, we people, humans, need to know what this thing is and to name it, not to be afraid of it. And also the labels and the music industry needs to put names to help people. I mean, everyone is afraid to help people know what they are going to buy or not. Supposing you don't know this artist, okay. So I also sell CDs in merchandising after my concerts, and I don't never put any label, you know, this is the music you just saw. So if you want it, you can take it. But I'm not any more angry about this term. Of course, it's something to debate still and something we have to discuss, but I do not feel myself like especially not well served with this, because I'm definitely not the only one. And I would be okay if all the musics, like even rock, folk, and whatever, like white musics and Western music, because it's obviously, world music is like Africa and Asia, no, and South America. So the not white part of the world. But we could say that world music is a label that could work with any kind of music, because we are from that same world. So world music could be Moroccan, world music could be French, world music. All the musics are world music first, and then a smaller category. Yes. But, you know, I'm ready to discuss this with people that have this interest, but actually it absolutely doesn't disturb me, because I don't want to take this time rather than work my music and enjoy making music without naming it. The most important is create this music and share it with the people, not to try to explain it. And for people who absolutely need to explain it, so yeah, we can talk, but it's not the most important thing.
There's a new spotlight here in the West on African music, and from really all directions. Like, you have Amapiano from South Africa suddenly playing a role here. You have rap from Nigeria suddenly. You have Afrobeats. You have the blues from Mali. You have the North. Northern African music. Is African music on the rise now? Do you feel that also?
But I don't know if I can see that honestly from this part of the world. Even if I call Paris home now, since 5 years I'm living here, and I think it's hard for me to see to look at the question from a point of view of being here in Europe, because before being here, I'm from Africa, I'm from Morocco. If now there is a raise, yes, we can see it. But for me, it has always been. There is a raise in the big system, in the world system. Also, because, thanks, or because of the easiest way to promote ourselves, because young artists from Africa, and not only from Africa, now use the social media to promote themselves, and are almost not anymore in need, like it was before, of major, of to be discovered from a big label and to wait for opportunities. I mean, now people can present themselves by themselves, and it happened that they become really, really famous and followed by a lot of people. Also because Western music exists since long time, but African musics exist even longer, long time before. And Western music have always been, comment dit, arrosé, like putting water on all the other continents. And since we had the possibility to listen, to receive CDs, to have the parabole, the big antennas to see video clips and MTVs and Viva in the 90s, etc. So we, young people from the 90s and the 80s, we had inevitably this, not heritage, but this big, big information. And we are very, comment dit, thirsty. African people are thirsty for music and for, and for music and for singing, because it's part of our way of life. It's not only about entertainment or, so I think we have absorbed a lot of Western music, and came a time that now we know that we enjoy our own music and also the way Western musicians play their music. And now we are just combining brilliantly, I can see. I mean, in every kind of music, I see Moroccan rappers, actually, that are, you know, worldwide, that sell a lot. I mean, exactly like American ones or whatever. I think the youth, African youth, is smart and able to, you know, to express and be really brilliant in music, also in fashion and the way, you know, we dress, because it's also very important in these days, the way you present yourself, how you are, you know, original, colorful or not, with, you know, an attitude. I think African young people and musicians have always have this, but now maybe there is une prise de conscience, a consciousness that yes, we are able, and there are no more walls, because the world is open, because everyone has the world in his phone and can make a video and share with the world. And I think it's very beautiful. I am really confident in the future of Africa, because we are young, and because I say we, that the continent is young, and that maybe we can also in music and larger, not only in music, because we have seen all the experiences that happened in the Western world, and also that worked on us because we were occupied. And now we see that some models are not anymore working. So maybe for us, it's still time to build or design, shape our future, and not to fall in the same mistakes that in the Western world has maybe been. Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful. I mean, I don't like all the kinds of music, especially the mainstream, etc. But I'm really happy and proud for this youth in Africa that raised today. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here in Germany, we always have these discussions about cultural appropriation. How do you see that when a German artist would now start making music that's based on, let's say, Amapiano or something? Is that something that should not be done, or should that be done, but the original source needs to be credited? How do you see that?
You mean Western or German artists playing, getting inspired from African music?
Exactly.
Or playing the existing songs?
No, like we... taking inspiration from making like German songs based on Amapiano music, like using the rhythms.
Lovely. I love that. Why not? Of course.
Mm.
For me, music is a big ocean where everyone is free to take and give back. And we do not invent really something. We all in the same ocean, in the same sea, and also in time. because we take from the historical and the heritage, but we take also from each other. And for me, it's absolutely okay. The contrary, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the line would be, because you asked, like, taking an original song and...
Yes, taking an original song, it's another thing. Taking an original song or maybe, you know, there are also songs from the heritage that are even not registered, okay, for the copyrights. But for me, if we do this, we have to be careful to make it the best way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Since sometimes the original musician or singer is not alive anymore, but there is a tradition that is respected from all the people around that musician, that if we don't need to ask credits, because there is nobody to ask, we have to be really careful to serve this patrimoine, this heritage, the best we can. And it doesn't mean that we cannot deform it, but we have to be in the service of this thing. And if we are not able, we can always get inspired and do something else and find other ideas. But for me, even for example, if I want to make a tribute to all the Hassani Sahrawi song, being a Moroccan doesn't give me all the freedom. I am a musician, I can do whatever I want. But supposing I have to take like three songs from, for example, Dimi Mint Abba, Mauritanian, yes. And there are different ways I could do this. I could do this in a way that is very light, but still, you know, respectful of the soul of it. I can take just a part of it, sing it, and then develop other things I put myself. But if I take this and to transform it completely, for me, it's not respectful for the soul of the original maker of the song.
Mm.
So I think there are different limits, and depending on the project.
Mm. Yeah, I also thought always, like, the beauty of culture is blending, mixing, trying to create something new out of different influences. Otherwise, you always stay in your lane and it becomes boring.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly like in architecture. And buildings that mix in different lives and different architectures and different expressions from different people and eras from in time.
Mm. Yeah, you mentioned it earlier. Last year, I think you celebrated 15 years in professional music. Looking back, did you achieve all the goals you set for yourself in that time? Or is there something that you say, this is really something I still have on my music bucket list, place you want to play or a project that you want to do or something like that?
Honestly, really, to be honest with you, I did not have any checklist or I want to do this or that. My targets are like one after another. I do not have a list. Depending on what I have been through, depending on what I just did, and supposing I release an album that has a story, a work before, people involved in, and then a tour for this. So it's a huge panier of emotion and thing that touches me. So after that, I'm ready to start working in another story. So I'm not in the process of, okay, now I did this, now I still have to do that. And I have never been like that. And for the places I want to play in, I would like to go more in Africa, because I'm Moroccan, but I only played in few countries, African countries, of course, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Egypt, Mali, Côte d'Ivoire, and that's it for Africa. I'm not happy about that. I would like to go, that music take me, because all the parts of the world I have discovered, the most beautiful ones was an offering on a gift for music, of music. So I went to a few places in holidays in Africa, but I would like to that music makes me go visit other countries, because going with music, it is different. We go with another attitude, and we are received, welcomed with another attitude, with a special interest for culture and for music. I have never played in the United States. I played in Canada, but never United States. Why not? I would like to see New York, but it's always like complicated. So I'm not really in a hurry to go there. And then, yes,
Said especially now, probably even more.
Yeah. No rush at all. So yeah, so the most important thing for me is to keep on learning and keep on getting closer to who I am, which is I am always still discovering. And there is nothing more than music that helped me do this work, which is a lifetime work, I guess. And it's step by step. And the more I practice music, the more I write, the more I learn about me, and the more I want to try to be better. Also observing the world, which comes also with the music. And thanks to music, we travel a lot. We see cultures, situations, political situations, and we, of course, we compare and we build our own opinion in these times that information is really focused on what informators want to be focused on, and are almost imposing to us what we have to know about this or that. I think traveling and seeing people and having its own opinion is very, very important. And music gives that as well.
You mentioned you would like to play in other African countries more also. Like, why did that not happen? Why is it difficult? Is it the language barrier then? You mentioned mostly French-speaking countries that you played in Africa, yeah? Like the North.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Also, I don't have an agent for those areas, and never had any offers or proposition. And I do not prospect myself. And I do not have an agent for that specific area. I did not do this work, like to try to find a way to play there. That's the truth. But yeah, I would like to. I do not have any, explanation. I don't know, but I really would like to go more in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to celebrate your 15 years, your anniversary, so to speak, you released a best of album, which is not like a normal best of album. It's a live album.
Yes, it's yeah.
Mm-hmm. How difficult was it for you to pick a set list for that? What will end up on that?
Well, I knew that I had to respect people's choice. And people's choice is obviously, I know all the songs that people love the most. So I had to put them. And then I wanted to put in the list some songs that are my favorites in that time, because favorites move, no? Through weeks and months and seasons. And also I wanted to have songs from the three different albums. And of course, not to be more than 12 or 13, especially that I wanted to make a double vinyl, and that the time is limited. So yes, and then I made this list and discussed with the guys from the band, and yes, and we added also there are also this song Lágrimas Negras, which we used to sing and to play, but has never been recorded. and that people, because of one video on YouTube, really loved this song. So absolutely, we had to do it. And also, we added one instrumental song, which is a song from Yasser Rami, oud player, that has composed two songs in two different albums for me, Intidar, because I really love this this melody, this song, and we used to always play it, not on stage, but like in doing the sound check or in the bus or whatever. So it's part of us, of the tour. So I wanted to have this song as well. And another song from Damian Nueva, the bass player, Toda la Gente. And it's a song that is part of his album, Orisun. And because it's a very beautiful melody. And I wanted also that the guys also participate in another way and also say thanks to them, because actually Yasser and Damian are the oldest one in the story. They are the first ones I met back in 2012. So yeah, that's it. And then this was in the recording, but when we started touring with Dekshi, of course, we invited all the other songs that are not in the record, but are part of the best of Why Not. So yeah, so we play all our stories now. We just change the set list depending on the place we go. And of course, when people ask for something else they want, we do play it also. So yeah.
Yeah, but for the record itself, there was no survey with the fans or so. I hear that from a lot of artists recently who have similar projects, maybe releasing a best of compilation and stuff. They somehow start using social media for surveys, and they usually end up being offended because, of course, the fans pick all the big hits, but never the nice album cut that they wished would end up on the record.
Yes, I did. I asked and they almost answer exactly the same. And I knew already that these like three or four songs will be in the record. So yeah, but there was not a big difference. Like all the people choose like three or four songs, especially one, and there two, three. Yeah, and the rest was okay.
Mm-hmm. Are you someone who always still likes to play the big hits, or are you someone who says, sometimes I wish I could leave that song off the set list today because I played it so often? Do you?
You know, maybe I don't go that far saying I want to take it off from the set list, but I can say, but you know, these songs are very, very, are really magical, because even when you are tired of them, you start singing them with the people, with the crowd. This is just incredible. Actually, the song, you make a song and then you release, and then some of the songs don't even anymore belong to you. They are people's. They are peoples. You cannot take this from the people. And thanks to people, because of the love of people, we can grow up as artists. We have more confidence thanks to the love of people. So they are giving us wings with the love they are giving us, no matter what are their favorite songs. There is always space for them and for us. And in the albums, we can always have, you know, the pleasure to put this and that. But I cannot not consider the people, because I'm playing with them, for them, for me and for them. And they are giving me wings. I am not what I am if there are no people supporting me. So, yes. I do always the songs for them, even if I go saying, but I do it. And at the end, I'm happy.
My favorite example for that is always, there's a band, I don't know, for sure you know them, Dexys Midnight Runners. They had like a huge hit in the 80s with Come On Eileen, but it was basically the only like really big hit. And I think they, for a while, did not play that song at all at their concerts, and now they make a compromise and they play it now every other concert. So if you as a fan want to make sure you hear that song, you need to buy 2 tickets.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So in Karlslautern, what do you plan for that? Will we hear the live album in its entirety and then some, or what's the plan for Kaiserslautern?
So the plan for Kaiserslautern, I come in a quartet with the oud, Yashir, and trumpet, Camille, and a percussionist, Dogan. It's a smaller formation. Acoustic. Yeah, we are going to play songs from Dekshi, but also one or two outsider songs. yes, because in this group, when we are four on stage, sitting down, I love to explore more and to improvise more. Me and also each one of the musicians. It's not completely improvised music, of course, because the song exists, but we allow ourselves to go further in exploring possibilities and fragile beauties, and also depending on the venue, on the people, on the listening of the people. So it can happen that we come with a set list that we can change during, you know, while we are playing. And I really like to consider this as something we know, but that can always be different. And the more it can become different, the more I'm happy at the end. So I do not program a lot, because also Dekshi is something we have played many times, many years, and maybe it's time now for us and for the songs, you know, to try different ways.
What's your experience so far with German audiences? Germans always appear a bit stiff and calm during the concert, but listen closely. Is that also your experience?
Yeah. Listen closely, and listen closely with the ears and with the eyes. I think they are really curious and at the same time quiet. But curious, you know, you can have in front of you a crowd that is sitting down, not moving, but you can see that they are bored. In Germany, they are not moving. And also there are different ages. There are young people, no young people, queer people, old people, and all in the same place. And this is not everywhere. But then I think, if they are quiet, is to respect themselves listening and to respect the moment. But then the curiosity I can see in their eyes during when I am on stage, I can see this curiosity expressed after the concert, because usually I meet people after the concert in the hall or wherever. And really, they share their impressions with me, like going in details and telling stories, like about this or that song, want to know more, asking things about Morocco, sharing their stories. They lived in Morocco. So these people are cool, quiet during the concert. And for me, it's absolutely, absolute respect. And I love that. But then they are really alive and they speak, and you know, so it's really good. I told you that at the beginning of this interview. I really, really enjoy playing in Germany for the people and also for the sound, because we are not going to lie here. Song in Germany is just fabulous, and the technical people are just absolutely wonderful. We did never have a bad experience in the sound, and sound is very important. It's the most important thing.
Was that a surprise for you the first time you played in Germany, that you think, oh, the audience is totally dead, and in the end they come to you and say, wow, best concert I've ever been to?
I don't remember the very, very first time I played in Germany, but sometimes it's not like that. The example of Köln Philharmonie, we played it many times, like many, 3, 4, 5, I don't remember. I know we have been for each and every, since the Soul of Morocco, and then Zarabi, and then Daba, and then Dekshi. And maybe for one of them, we went two times. And it has always been, I don't know if it's Köln or the Philharmonie or the people, but it's very special. Mm. It's absolutely not quiet. It's people are here to celebrate, and it's full of people, and they are really happy and really participating since the very first song, large applause. And also there are Moroccans that come in a few places of, you know, in Germany, like Berlin, Köln. And so, yeah, we have this Moroccan crowd also that is very appreciable to see that, yes, they are Moroccan and they do share things with us, with me, and they do understand everything I say. But they also definitely have a German part, because they are also acting like German people. So it's really nice. It's not just about this community of Moroccans that is, you know, only Moroccan and that it shows. They are German Moroccans. And yeah.
Cologne is also Germany's most famous carnival city. So they are a bit more lively than the rest of us.
That must be that.
Do you have any plans for the time after the now upcoming tour? Is there a new album on the horizon or something?
Yes, definitely. I'm actually in, we can call it the off week, because last week I have did the first session of recordings, and I'm going back to the studio next Sunday for another week to record the definitive lead vocals. And I'm very excited. And I'm working on a new album, which will be a solo album, only with the percussions and vocals. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing it, all of it. So now I recorded all the percussions. So Moroccan percussions, Ta'arija, Bendir, Qraqab, all these traditional percussions from Marrakesh, and all the backing vocals, which also are some rhythmic parts, since there are no strings, no wings, no other instruments. So yeah, I'm really, really excited about that. I'm exactly in the middle of this. I'm also a little bit afraid, of course, because I need to sing the best I can next week, and I hope I can do that. But I'm really happy, because this will be, first a new story, new stories, a new and old me, because it's an old me that has till now never showed yet. Mm-hmm. And also we were talking before about taking some traditional elements, and I'm doing this, it's only original songs. I have written the songs and melodies, but in the way of making it, it's definitely like Marrakeshi, different oral traditions. And at the beginning, I was afraid if something will be missing and that it will be probably not enough musical. But now I start to be happy when I recorded the first part of it. And I think it's going to be very powerful only with the vocals and the percussions. A lot of rhythmics, ternary rhythmics, African and Moroccan. Yes, and also I told you before that every album is telling songs, telling stories about who I am and what I have been since the last album. And this last 4 years, I moved from Casablanca, from Morocco to Paris. And of course, a lot of things changed, even if I knew Paris. But I can say that my perception of France, of Paris, of the Western world, and also my perception of my hometown and home country and culture, it's not change, but you know, you change the point where you are standing, and so you see things differently and you feel things differently. And I think this album will be saying or sounding like this this move, this transformation, or you know, I think it's too early to talk about that.
I was
I answered quickly.
Do you have a time frame when it should be released?
Yes, in February.
Then yeah. Have to invite you back to the podcast.
Yes, please. I will have a lot of things to tell you about it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Looking forward to catch you in Kaiserslautern.
Yes. Cool. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
And now a message from our sponsors.
The world talks about Africa. But when you want real insights, it crickets. That's why we built Raw Academy. Access in-depth insights from Africa's top entrepreneurs, investors, and industry leaders. Not just headlines, but real strategies, real opportunities. Discover high-growth sectors, navigate emerging markets, and learn the nuances that drive success. At Raw, we give you the tools to make decisions that are smart, strategic, and profitable. From tech and startups to agriculture and energy, we connect you to Africa's most promising sectors. This isn't about charity, it's about opportunity. Business leaders, investors, and entrepreneurs, it's time to take action. Visit the Raw website at resources.raw.academy. Gain the knowledge, make the move, and own the future.